adult audio. Love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
That's right.
Yeah. Tell you, Loveline, well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Swiss timepiece.
Oh, my goodness.
Producer Ant, here's the whole thing. Let me tell you a couple quick things. Greg Proops is going to be in here tonight. You know him from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And many comedy specials.
Somebody asked me to describe him. I couldn't describe him.
Describe what he looks like physically?
Yes.
White guy, early 40s. Could be English, but he's not. He just seems English because he's smart and he's eloquent.
Yes.
Did a little crank anchor work for us and very funny stand-up. And a super high IQ guy.
Okay.
Anyway, he... anyway, here's the thing. There is a... Here's what I love about... Well, there's a couple things. Let me just say this. K-Rock, the mother station we're at right now, has this thing out front that's an intercom thing. And it says, at night, press this intercom button, which really is hooked up to a garage somewhere in the Lake Placido area or something. It is not hooked up to the building.
Right.
So people just sit there for days pushing on it, thinking they're going to talk to someone who never ends up coming on the intercom. And then I end up pulling up behind these people. I can get in, but of course I can't because they're talking into an imaginary intercom. I think it's made of styrofoam or
every
something.
Every night. Every night I go through this virtually.
Yeah. Well, every other night. Come on.
Every other night.
Come on.
Because you're going through it.
Prima donna.
No, I do go through it every night.
Yeah. Now, here's the whole thing. Someone needs to take a Sharpie and rub out the part where it says at night press this because there's nobody on the other end of that intercom. I'm not even sure that it's hooked up. So poor producer Ann has to go outside and stand out like a homeless person waiting for the guests to come because the intercom is not hooked up to anything. It's not going to alarm anyone to go out there and open the gate.
Right.
So Greg Proops, our guest tonight, had called, and he's going to be just a little bit late. And, 10 or 15 minutes late. So producer Ann comes running in. Her hair's messed up. She's out of breath. Pokes her head in with about 30 seconds of the show to go. And goes, did anyone call? Did the publicist call? And everyone just sort of looks at her. And then she slides her head back out and goes out. And engineer Chris says, oh, yeah, someone called about 15 minutes ago. And then we said, why didn't you tell Ann? And he goes, I did. And I thought, well, either Ann didn't hear engineer Chris, or perhaps she has a tumor growing in her head. But here's the thing, engineer Chris.
Here comes. Ann, we give her rare appearances.
You never said a word to me. Why would I be standing out there?
He said it when you slipped out as you ran away.
I was on the phone with Anderson, so yeah.
All right.
So it doesn't
you.
Count as actually telling me.
All right. No, but what about the call you got 15 minutes ago?
Yeah. I told Dr. Drew.
He told Drew?
Oh,
yeah.
He told you?
Oh, Drew.
15 minutes ago?
Yeah, and I was the one yelling at you out the door. When you stuck your head in here.
Getting the coffee and playing security guard?
15 minutes ago, why didn't you tell Ann?
I didn't.
Rude.
We don't have any of those problems over here.
Yeah. It's all about Drew.
I think we need to all get together and try to get a security guard like we had before.
Yeah. I think we shouldn't announce we don't have a security guard on there. We should get another security guard. Yeah. Because Big Lou is just a little too trigger happy for me. I mean, he loves us, but he treats us like we're his kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him snap some necks and break some hearts out there. Yeah, he's too big. Too big a target, this guy. Sure, he could probably take a couple of bullets, but again, too big a man. We got to get a smaller guy who can miss the bullets. I agree with producer Ann. Yeah, it'd be nice to get some $4 an hour guy to stand out there and not screw things up. Yeah. All right, so anyway, Greg Proops coming on tonight. And then tomorrow night, Ethan, the heartthrob from Survivor. Survivor, my favorite show. Drew will not get on board with Survivor. I'm telling you.
I do for short periods.
Hold on a second.
I do.
How dare you? Let's turn the clock back.
You're always right. I'm not questioning your judgment.
Turn the clock back to the Family Guy. Many years, 4 or 5 years ago, I'm in here talking about the Family Guy. Everyone's giving me this lukewarm thing.
By the way, you were supposed to talk with him on Saturday night and get him on the show, Seth, and get me as a voice on that cartoon.
Yeah. Guess how many of those things were done Saturday
Zero
night?
And zero.
That's right. Yeah. I think just zero would would accomplish what we're our goal.
I went over to
Seth MacFarlane's house for his party on Saturday night. It's a nice home, but not a large home. Maybe 2,800, 3,000 square feet in the fashionable Hollywood Hills. Hung out at the party drinking for about 4 hours. Spoke to every single person. Never saw Seth.
Okay.
Circled three times. Couple of Seth spottings. People said, I think he's in the bedroom. And then an hour later, someone said, no, he just walked past here. And just sort of went around in a circle. Wasn't looking the whole time. Just figured eventually our paths will cross. Never happened.
Right.
Never did see the man. Talked to every single person from The Simpsons. Not talent-wise, but the producer types. But no Seth MacFarlane. So I'll call him, though.
Okay.
We'll get him in here. We'll get you as the voice of the show.
All right.
Maybe they'll do a character this year. It'll be a totem pole.
Yeah, or you, Mr. Yanni.
Yeah, the guy
Mr.
yawns.
Boredom.
Yeah, the guy bores people to death.
Yeah.
That'd be a great superhero for you.
I like the totem pole idea, too. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, Mr. Personality, Mr. Totem pole.
I could just be the cigar store Indian.
Yeah, the wooden Indian. Yeah.
After all, finally.
Yeah.
My life's work realized.
Come to life, yeah. But, Drew, I could see you as more of a Spider-Man villain, like Mr. the Sandman.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's like, here's what it is.
Or
like,
Iceman, yeah.
I no, not the Iceman.
The ones that freeze you, put you to sleep, that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but not the Iceman.
Okay.
The Iceman freezes you.
Mm-hmm.
Does not put you to sleep.
Mm.
The Sandman, he puts you to sleep.
Sandman puts you to sleep.
Yeah, not the Iceman. All right. Now, see what you do, Drew? You slide in, you do a little undermine, screw up the jaw. All right, Sandman.
Sandman.
Here's how it's going to go. Spider-Man traps the Sandman, and then you just start talking about venereal disease or some very specific eye problem. And eventually it goes like this. Ha-ha! I've cornered you, the Sandman! You're going in, Sandman! Do you have any last words? See, now Drew's... Drew.
Yes.
All right, Drew. All right, see, Drew... You see what he does, Anderson? Did you hear that?
I heard nothing.
Thank you. All right, Drew. Come on, buddy. Stop being so passive-aggressive.
Being afraid is not being passive-aggressive. Being fearful of not wanting to...
What are you talking about?
I
just explained to you how the game goes.
Don't say anything.
Listen. All right. I should just rerun that whole goddamn thing on the air.
Anderson, why don't you do that?
Do it.
Rerun.
That's a lot of work.
All right. Yes, sir, Ms. Kroll. Speaking of the Sandman.
All right. You didn't know what I wanted out of you the second
time?
I had
no idea.
Why don't you just redo it?
What is it?
Just do it. Just happen again. It was good.
You want to redo it?
Yeah, Drew, you got nothing to worry about. You can do it.
Do nothing, you mean?
Yeah, he's good at it.
Remember I was saying the Sandman bores him with some talk about an eye problem or venereal disease.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Anderson, please just give me that piece of tape so I can bring it in to work.
I mean, I can do that at the end of the night. Yeah.
At the end of the night. It's just that'll just be for me.
Yeah,
so people know what I have, what I'm up against here. All right?
Yeah, you know what? I'll do the extra work. And you'll get it, yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. All right.
Hey, before we take any calls.
Iceman.
We have to do it.
What?
Well, what do you call it when people are put into a deep sleep, like when they freeze them? They put them in a deep sleep and they're frozen.
No. You mean
that's what it's talked like. That's
cryogenic freezing?
Yeah, it's talked about a deep sleep and all those kinds of
First
stuff.
First off, there's a Mr. Freeze already.
I know, I understand that.
It has nothing to do with sleep.
I understand that.
That's number one. He's already superhero villain, Mr. Freeze.
Right.
He's portrayed in the Batman movies and has nothing to do with somnambulism. Yeah. Someone can't go to sleep or someone who can't go to sleep.
Somnambulism.
Thank you. Has nothing to do with that. The Sandman, however, is that guy. Yes, he's the sleep guy.
Sandman guy's that guy, for sure.
All right, so all I'm saying is why add on with a crappy add-on that's sort of confusing?
Bad idea. No problem with that.
All right. Anderson, you hear that? Do you see what I'm up against over here?
Yeah.
All right.
I was in the other room working on something for you.
It's a tough night tonight.
It is really tough.
All right, but then here's what you do, Drew.
Yeah.
Here's my claim against you.
All right.
You do your bad add-ons which is really, look, I don't mind a bad idea. It's just that you're not listening and you feel like you got to stick something in at the end. And that thing that you stick in is because you're not really listening. If you're listening, you won't stick it in. See what I'm saying?
Yes? I see what you're saying.
All right. Uh-oh. This is humiliating now. Greg Proops is here. Good to see you, buddy. Sit down. Put your headphones on. We're having an argument, Greg.
I've been listening.
I'm sorry.
I've been listening on the way over. Yeah. And I think Dr. Morpheus, right?
There you go.
Because he was the one who invoked sleep.
And dreams.
That's as I was pulling in over here, I was just about falling asleep because of the whole explanation of the superhero thing.
And he didn't.
Thank you.
See, here's what. Put your cans on. That's what we call the headphones.
Yeah. I'm down with the industry lingo. I went to the Columbia School of...
Broadcasting?
Yeah. No, actually. I went to the Betty... Ford School.
Greg, speaking of school, I think Greg is a highly intelligent guy. It may have no real application, but he's super smart.
Yeah. It translated to lots of women when he was growing up.
I'm sure.
Chicks dig brains.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they like a guy who's hip smart.
Oh, I don't want to reinforce those stereotypes. Golly.
Where did you go to college?
I never graduated college, so my advice for the kids out there is skip it, because you don't need it. I went to College of San Mateo, and then I matriculated at San Francisco State for a couple of years.
Wow.
But now I've 3 years, four. I have like 4.5 years of school.
Right.
But I never...
Yeah.
Converted.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like exercise.
I got a gig, you know, and I started booking and doing... comedy and acting, and then
You start getting stand-up work when you were in your early 20s.
Yeah,
still in college.
Exactly. And then I went. I hate the school part, but I like going to the clubs and telling jokes. And then I starved for, you know, I didn't have I had jobs. I had what we would call Joe jobs, and
right in the comedy world.
Yeah, and then finally, after several million years, quit those, and then just did comedy permanently.
Well, so. Did you
went to UCLA, did you know?
No. I didn't go anywhere.
Didn't you go to school down here?
No.
No,
I went to high school down here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then I got into carpet cleaning.
See, well, there, again...
I couldn't say no
Adam's
to the money.
Adam's a very intelligent person. You have your own... whatever this is, and
yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
And you're a successful television personality, producer, and you didn't graduate college. In fact, you were a common day laborer, the kind of which I don't let use my bathroom. And
yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
That kind.
My stepmom didn't let me use her bathroom.
That's true.
Either.
Did
very
she not?
Smart.
No, not.
Well, she didn't have an exact policy against using the bathroom. It's just I got locked out of the house.
Guidelines?
When the street lights came on.
Locked out and then issued a decorative popcorn tin, Greg.
Oh, no.
Yes. Standard issue, mind you.
I was not issued that. That was a very considered a lavish gift by Corolla standards from my aunt and uncle for my graduation present. And all you need to know about the Corollas and what kind of shape they're in is that was considered a very acceptable,
generous.
If not generous, high school graduation gift was a decorative can of popcorn. Had the cheese, the regular butter, and then the caramel corn. Yeah, and at the time, I remember thinking, wow, score. 18 years old. Got myself $3 worth of popcorn, everybody, and 50 cents worth of can. This is huge. By the way, you're sending... you know what I mean? Like, don't bother. All right.
Yeah.
All right, but these are the same people who used to send me a nickel for every year. I think it was a dime for every year.
When did you grow up in the Depression? These gifts are terrifying.
Yeah.
You get a block of ice on your birthday or something? Or the fruit wagon would come by and you get a strawberry or something?
Oh, that would have been big time.
They're really made more to humiliate than they are to reward. But let's not talk about me. Anyway, the popcorn was not initially made to defecate in.
Didn't have to defecate.
I didn't.
In the tin.
No, I didn't.
They
have
didn't
to.
Call it a can for nothing. I'm just saying,
brother.
I'm just saying.
What are you gonna do?
Well, hey, what nature tells you to do.
That's
right.
That's exactly. That's exactly
right. He's locked
out of there. That's exactly right.
Hey, we got a promotion tonight.
Yeah. Well, we got a promotion. All right, Drew. I've had enough of you. Shut off Drew's mic. That's it for him. He's done. I'm done.
The reason I said that is that we in order to take one call this segment, we're going to need to mention that promotion. So.
We are?
Yeah.
Why? We have to say it before the call?
All callers 17 years and older, who get on the air, automatically win a pair of tickets to see The Girl Next Door. Starring Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how you say her name. Is that how you say her name?
I think it's spelled.
I think you don't do the thud.
Whatever.
I think it's like Cuthbert.
Oh, really? I don't know.
I don't know if the H is silent. I don't know.
Is she the Canadian girl, or is that Erica, the one that was on 21? Or whatever?
I don't know. She's got a nice size cleft in her chin and some blonde hair, and she's hot.
Oh, she's got loads of cookie. There's no question.
Yeah.
And the plot of the movie is she was a porn star, but she's moved next door, and now you get to date her, and so, hey, what could happen?
Yeah. I saw the movie.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Excellent.
Okay.
So if you're living in L.A., email us maintenant right now. Girl Next Door tickets at earthlink.net. Girl Next Door.
Can we speak French?
At Earth, si vous voudriez.
Ah.
Get your passes for the ArcLight in Hollywood. The Girl Next Door opens on April 9th.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to live in L.A. or
What's
could you just fly out here if you want? Ann's now Ann's got
wrong?
Something going on. What'd you do?
I don't know.
You don't have to live out here, do you?
Well, if you want to make your way out to L.A.,
fly out.
All right.
Come
San
from
Diego, San Francisco.
Are we going to be at this thing?
No,
we're not. Well, I probably shouldn't have said anything.
By the way, those tickets are worth a lot, because if you've been to the ArcLight, you know tickets are like 14 clams there.
This is
no $6.50 matinee theater. This is an expensive.
Let me tell you what.
Do they have popcorn tins there?
That's my theater.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I could fill one. Like Barry Lyndon, I think. I'd had to take a long movie like Barry Lyndon. I'd probably fill one of those. We did Mexican and then saw Barry Lyndon, and I maybe had like a Mountain Dew or something to really get things going. I think I could top one off.
Let's go to this thing.
Well, you want to go?
I already saw the movie, you idiot. That's right.
I'll swing by.
Well, how did you see it already? It hasn't come out yet.
They gave me the show me a premiere.
Oh, okay. Were you there at the red carpet premiere with Alicia Cuthbert?
Oh, no. I shouldn't call it that. It was a screening.
A private screening.
A private screening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you were there with the critics, the unhappy white guys.
No, I was just alone.
Oh.
Yeah.
You saw it by yourself?
Yeah.
What, would you go down to, the studio's office or something? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Good times. Yeah, I'm big
Good
time.
Times, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
It was a very provocative movie. I reached for myself on more than one occasion.
Mm.
Oh, yes. All right, and this...
Did you achieve?
This theater.
That's funny. That's what I was like during The Passion. I just couldn't leave it alone.
couldn't.
You know what I mean?
Little
Caesar had to render under him what was his.
Did you see that movie?
No, I don't like NASCAR, so I wasn't into that version.
My old thing with The Passion is I got this policy about subtitles and no nudity.
Yeah,
and
right.
That to me is what you call lose.
Yeah.
First off, no nudity. That's almost a deal breaker. And then subtitles, the only thing that's good about subtitles is a little nudity at the end of the reading rainbow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, I have to read.
Follow the bouncing ball.
But eventually I'm going to get to some boobs.
Mm-hmm.
This... No thanks. Maybe a little sack up on the X there.
But The Girl Next Door.
Girl Next Door. Now that's got some TNA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't want to see Jesus get his lunch handed to him for 3 hours. Mm. I like
the other
Jesus, the philosopher Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't want Jesus to be Rodney King.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want him to be reduced to can't we all get along and the centurions are just kicking on him.
Yeah. I'm not into that either. It's the brutal violence. And by the way, I'd rather see a guy get taking a chainsaw to him by the undead than some depiction of an actual event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It becomes too cruel for me. Maya?
Yes.
You're 20?
I'm 22.
You're 22. What's up?
I'm in a relationship. Well, actually, I'll be 23, but I'm in a relationship with someone who is 10 years my senior. And we've been dating, living together for about a year, but we've been dating for 3. And the first year and a half, we had great sex. But now, the latter time, I'm feeling kind of jaded. I've been having these feelings of I want to experiment. I want
to
have.
You need to end this relationship, basically.
Yeah.
You're done with this guy.
Well,
you want to experiment with a chick?
Yes, but I want him to be a part of it.
No, listen. You want this relationship to end. You just don't know how to do it, and this is a good way to put a nail in the coffin.
Oh no, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you did, Ed.
You will explode with all sorts of feelings if you get involved in this kind of a situation.
Well,
and then that will then be the end of the relationship.
You want him to be a part of it so you don't feel like a dyke, right?
No, it's not that. It's just that we're in the exhibitionism, and we do it in public. I it's more like the thrill of it, you know. Not so much that I want to get involved.
Did I see you outside of Cuban Versailles a couple of weeks ago?
No.
Those were two dogs.
But, I mean, we'll have...
Because I hosed them down.
We'll have sex, like, in the car, off the side of the road, on a highway. Or, you know, just, like, fun stuff. And now he's not, you know, fun. You know, he's not doing...
Yeah.
We do lovemaking, and that's...
Yeah, look, he never wanted to do that crap in the first place. That's just one of those things where you go along with stuff and you pretend you like everything when you're in the honeymoon phase, so you don't piss the other person off, but eventually settle into your own rhythm. And 30-year-old guys who have condominiums don't want to go out
or
and do it on a little league field.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to... Look, here's the thing. As a guy, you work hard to have a place to hump. That's what it's all about. That's why we get jobs. That's why Drew went to college. You want a humping roof over your humping head. That's all it is. And so the idea of banging away in your friend's parents' pool house is just not that attractive once you have your own hump
den.
Spot.
Yeah,
your hump
spot.
Den. Your hump dugout.
Well, I was just wondering if we could bring a partner. I mean, he said no, but I think
saying, Maya, this will be the end of your relationship.
That's
Mark
over
my
anyway.
Words.
Don't,
it sounds like
don't
it's
get
over
pregnant,
anyway.
All right?
I just wondered, don't men usually want to have threesomes? I mean,
they do, except when they
may be into you.
Right, except
and
when they're really...
that's why you got to get this third person involved.
That's right. Here's the equation. Uh-huh. Here's the math, the arithmetic here. He actually really cares about you. Thereby bringing another person in, he has an instinct, will threaten the relationship, and he's not really interested in anybody else. He's interested in you.
Right.
You, because he's so into you, feel bored, constrained, unhappy, uncomfortable because you can't tolerate intimacy.
You need the chaos.
So
you got
to bring some chaos in to sabotage this thing, and man, you will.
There
you bring
go.
That other person in, and this whole thing will erupt.
Where's your dad? Did he split early?
No. Well, my mother and my father kind of like co-raised me. It's like, it's weird. They were divorced, but I always had him in my life, and he's always been in my life.
Do you feel like you have a little trouble with intimacy?
No, I love being intimate. It's just
No.
That doesn't matter.
She doesn't know what that means.
All right, just don't get pregnant. Do whatever you want. She's 20.
Right.
You know. Maybe he's 30 and he's ready to sort of focus in on a relationship.
Are we confusing intimacy with exhibitionist sex here?
Yes, we absolutely are.
Well, intimacy to me means you actually love someone.
You actually connect with somebody. Yeah. Her thing is, I'm loving physical intimacy. It's great. No. That's not what we're saying. It's the actual connected relationship that you can't tolerate, the closeness. Proximity of another person.
Yeah.
Not physical proximity, but emotional proximity.
I don't know how many women at age... You know, we always talk about guys and what kind of... You know, how they want to date around and play the field in their early 20s. I don't know how many women at age 20 are really ready to settle in.
Of course. But most of them are still going through that bad boy thing.
Yeah.
At 20, yeah.
That's right. That's why Greg got all the tail.
Because, they were turned on by his use of vocabulary.
They saw that.
Don't make me defend myself, fellas, because it's going to get pathetic over here in a minute. I promise you that.
Crazy Thunderbird character rims on his glasses. And
I had more scooch than you had hot meals, Corolla.
There's no doubt about that. Well, you had neither, actually. So.
What do you mean? Top ramen is not a hot meal?
I was gonna say,
I beg your pardon.
Knowing that he ate from a grandma's tin... sort of limits the... can I ask a generalized question in regard to the Maya situation, as I like to call it? This whole idea of introducing a third partner, and I think we've all entertained the notion, if not acted on it.
I beg your... Oh, yes.
Isn't
okay.
it good? It's a good idea on paper.
Yes, right.
But then anyone who's ever been to the Trois knows that there's always someone either sitting on the side... Or that something happens awful afterward. Am I wrong in this
you're
regard?
Right. Well, we occasionally
it's a very penthouse letters kind of thing.
We occasionally get a call from a 19-year-old college student that they did something and they had fun and it was fine. And they
enjoyed
it. 19. Yeah, but if a couple tries this, it's always a disaster.
Yeah.
And right. If there's no attachment to begin with, I could see it just boom, wing, wang, let's go.
Exactly.
But let me say this quickly, because it's a chicken or the egg kind of question, which is it always does destabilize what was a stable relationship. But the question is the fact that one of them wanted to bring in a third person means it may have been time to end
anyway.
So, so this is almost an excuse to go out with a bang, pardon the pun.
Which is the Maya syndrome.
But great situation. Like, yes.
I'm sorry. Well, there's the whole women. Usually it's the guy, isn't it? Am I just old fashioned?
Wouldn't it be great if there were two women?
Guy
here
does the threesome because he's got a boner. Girl does it because she's ready to get out.
Okay. Or she's ready for chaos. Very or she's lesbian. Very wise.
All things we can masturbate to. That's the
we'll be right back.
Great proofs here tonight. We'll give him a quick plug or 50 when we come back after this. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ethan Zahn's coming in here tomorrow night from Survivor. Greg Proops in here tonight. Greg, you know from all the seasons on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you can find him out here at Largo in Los Angeles, April 5th, doing the Greg Proops chat show. And also on Kilborn tomorrow night.
With your boy Ethan.
He's on Kilborn
one of the other. It's
night.
Me, Roseanne, and Ethan. Not in that order.
Wow. Drew, socks to Mike a full 30 minutes into the show. That's a good run.
Speaking of Drew, I got that thing, guys.
Oh, you do?
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Drew, but I did the work.
Yeah, you said at the end of the show, dude.
Okay.
Well, let me before you go to this, let me just do something. I got to clarify something about that promotion we mentioned in the last hour, because I didn't really understand this, is that for all callers 17 years and older, we were to send out tickets for them to go see the movie near them. Then, for anyone who wants to go see it in the Los Angeles area, you log on to Girl Next Door Tickets, one word, Girl Next Door Tickets at earthlink.net, and they download onto your computer a pass that you print out and bring to the ArcLight. It doesn't say what night. Probably will say it at that website.
Not a date?
It'll say on that.
It opens
April 9th, but doesn't say when the pass is at the ArcLight.
Well, you get one gets a feeling about one when one should attend
an
a premiere.
Yeah,
an over ArcLight the premiere, yes.
And anyway, you can, as many people as you want, just show up and you go.
All right. So. Well, good times.
Yeah.
Now, what do you have, Anderson?
I got the whole exchange from the beginning.
All right.
Dude, well, you mean no calls tonight?
I don't care. I want to hear it. And look, I'm going to sound like an idiot, too. But look, let's listen. See what you do, Drew? You slide in, do a little undermine, screw up the joke. All right, Sandman. Here's how it's going to go. Spider-Man traps the Sandman, and then you just start talking about venereal disease or some very specific eye problem. And eventually it goes like this. Ha-ha! I've cornered you, the Sandman! You're going in, Sandman! Do you have any last words?
At the B level of this industry, or D level of this industry,
C-.
I downgraded.
C-.
C+.
Yeah. Anderson, do you have that?
Oh, Jesus.
What? Okay.
It's so confusing with you guys. Okay, everyone heard it except for you guys just now.
You mean we were talking over it?
Well, no, I cut you guys off because,
Oh, so no one even heard that over there? We were saying really funny stuff while that was playing.
Yeah.
But we weren't hearing it, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was funny.
Great tech you've got here.
Again, it's that Swiss watch function of the system here.
That's we do five shows a night.
Don't you think you should feed the armadillo?
Slide
in the wheel.
Undermine.
He looks a little peaked.
All right, Anderson, what did you gather from hearing that?
He's still
right,
listening.
I'm sorry, it's confusing and upsetting because you guys are like, you know, a mile away, but here we go. You ready to hear it?
No,
what's up?
Yes.
How about Greg? You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it. See, let's see what you do, Drew. You slide in.
We're not hearing it.
You little undermine. Screw up the joke. All right, Sandman. Here's how it's going to go. Spider-Man traps the Sandman, and then you just start talking about venereal disease or some very specific eye problem. And eventually it goes like this. Ha ha! I've cornered you, the Sandman! You're going in, Sandman! Do you have any last words? See, now Drew.
Yes.
All right, you see what happens, Drew?
What you don't understand, what's missing is the few minutes after it. You scared the hell out of me. I stopped listening. I have no idea what you were doing at that point. I just thought, I got to shut up and not...
Stopped listening.
Completely at that
stopped
point.
Stopped listening.
Listened poorly before that, but when you scare somebody and tell them to shut up, they stop listening. And I have no idea. I just said, I'm not going to say anything. I got to shut up.
Well,
and I was about three blocks away when I heard that.
And so I have no idea what you'd said.
Stopped listening or became very passive aggressive because you were dressed down.
Yeah, but no decision is a decision, too.
That's interesting.
Let's see.
A-hole. Look at you. You two over here with the IQs. Got to gang up on the dumb guy crapped in the decorative popcorn tin.
Look, a bubble level. Oh, he's all distracted now.
All right. Oh, how dare you. Bubble level. They're all bubble levels. Heather?
Yes?
Thank you, Anderson. Going to need that to play for the kids at the office.
Well, you know what's actually kind of amazing to me?
Yes.
Is your build-up to that was could not have been clearer. I didn't hear any of it. When it actually happened. I mean, it was like, I can't, that was the surprising part for me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't,
you were sitting there.
Yeah,
though,
but,
right?
he'd scared the hell out of me. You missed the part where he yells at me. And I just thought, okay.
I heard
that.
It.
Yeah. And
he was angry. And he was rebelling.
Yes. No, I didn't even get to the point where I could do that. That would have been nice,
very
but I didn't
angry.
Get to that point.
A silent lashing out.
Isn't there a Sandman character for real?
I don't know. There should be.
I thought there was.
Or is it the Metallica song? I'm confusing.
It could be the Metallica song. If there is not a Sandman, and let me say this. The Sandman has gone the way of the dodo.
Yes.
Because the Sandman, people used to know what the Sandman went.
Yeah.
I would argue that most our callers under 25 are not going to know who the Sandman is.
Or
what
a dodo.
Or what he represents.
Or a dodo.
Well, yes.
We established that last
night. We have
night.
Tooth Fairy, though, right? Still? And still Easter Bunny, those are still extant. Okay.
Yes. Heather?
Yes.
You know who the Sandman is?
No, I don't.
Yeah, 26.
Never heard of them. Well, but we have exceptionally
with lots
stars.
Of wavy hair like Liberace.
Mr. Sandman.
Oh, well, yeah, I know who that dream. Is.
Who's the Sandman?
He brings you dreams.
Yeah. Yay. All right, baby doll, what's up?
That's funny. That's my job, too.
I just gave birth to my third child. I'm 26. My kids are 3.5, 2, and 3 months, and I'm going crazy.
No kidding.
Do you have teeth?
I want to know what I can do without taking, like, drugs.
Well,
what's the issue?
You stressed out?
I guess I have an anger problem right now. I snap at my 3.5-year-old. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything, but I'm just going crazy. Like, everything just drives me nuts.
All right.
Well, that irritability is a hallmark sign of depression, so maybe this is some sort of postpartum depression. If it is, it's a biological event. You can't wish yourself out of it or behave yourself out of it. Now, if on the other hand you're just sort of blowing a fuse because you're so stressed from trying to deal with three kids, you got to find ways to structure your life in such a way that you get adequate help and you get adequate time to take care of yourself, because being like that around your kids is exceedingly destructive.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can tell his whole temperament and his attitude has just changed about everything. Yeah. He's
and if
just
you,
like me.
And if you then now want to help yourself and, indeed, you have an evaluation to see if there's a biological component, there's ways to treat this. You understand these are the women that drown their kids in the bathtub and that kind of stuff when it gets bad enough.
Yes.
So I suggest you take care of this, Heather, and treat it very seriously.
Well, those folks are usually pretty religious, too. You're a religious gal, Heather?
No.
Okay, good. You'll be fine. You'll just mentally torture your child.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How come you've had three in rapid succession like this? Was this a plan or?
No, I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Anything to prevent it.
Okay. Well, look. You know what? You're one of these dumb people who's aware you're dumb. So how dumb can you be? Well, marginally dumb, I think, is the answer to that.
Dumb with insight.
But you know what? Huh. You're climbing out of the dumb mire.
Yeah.
And on to dumb dry land.
But get it checked. Call whoever delivered the babies, please call them and talk to them about this.
Do you,
I'm just afraid that all they're going to do is just prescribe me drugs. That may be
what you need, and it may save your kids from serious harm.
That's right.
So even though I'm breastfeeding this child, is it okay to...
It may not be. It's a good question. It's a very important question.
Are you married?
Yeah.
And how you doing with your husband?
I'm probably driving him crazy, too.
All right. Is he working and everything?
Yeah, he works. Okay. He works a lot.
You don't sound that depressed, by the way. You might want to really just focus on getting adequate help and time for yourself.
Yeah. All right,
I mean, you sound overwhelmed. But,
start listening to some classical music, would you?
Okay.
Makes you smarter.
Yeah.
And your kids, too.
And listen, speaking of that, by the way, and at the risk of sounding mildly racist, who decided that the white people in their late 30s and early 40s had to listen to just super boombox, beatbox, gangster rap? It's like, here's all I'm saying. I was, I did this Comedy Central special last week, and I was in New York, and we went to the after party, and it was, you know, basically, the room was 96% white, with the exception of D.L. Hughley, who I count as three-quarters white anyway. But it was just a bunch of comedians and Comedy Central executives, and it was a long show. It was like 4 hours, and everyone put in you know, 12-hour day, and now it's time to unwind and hoist a glass of wine. And it's just pounding, just
in the room.
Guys just yelling about the MFers and the shooting the cops and smacking
was
my bitch.
Was this live or recorded music?
This was or they had a DJ, and it's just pounding the crap out of it. And then here's what ends up happening, I realize. It's a large room, and there's, you know, 300-400 people there, but white guy, average age 43, and people are wanting to sort of unwind, and it's what it is. They got the black DJ, and we want him to DJ, and he's DJing, although no one's dancing. And so what ends up happening is, and the music is just pounding, so you have drunk people having to yell at you with food and booze on them, you know? And so it's like everybody's in your ear, oh, it was a good show last night! And everyone's, you know, and then they're drunk, so they're sort of spitting on your neck and stuff, and then you're sitting at the table, I finally sit down, I've been working for 4 hours, I eat, and the chick across the table says something, but it just looks like her mouth is moving, I can't hear, and I have to, like, lean forward, and she's, like, spitting food at me, and I thought to myself, hey, we're a bunch of adults! Can we just put on something? Put on a little jazz or something. Let's just unwind while we're eating here. Can we actually have a goddamn conversation? Like, I don't know if this this happens at clubs and stuff sometimes. It's not a rave. I understand. If you're doing a rave and everyone's acting and tripping and having a good time, knock yourself out. But you got a bunch of white people in their 40s who just want to have a little discussion over some finger food and a couple of cocktails. Why do you have to get the crap beat out of us with the thong song? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Totally agree.
And couldn't somebody, just one white guy with some huevos, just stand up and go, like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Put on some Steely Dan right now.
I want some goddamn Steely Dan.
This guy really is old and uncool.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, okay, you're racist, you're old, you're uncool. No, I just want to have a goddamn conversation without being spat on by the drunken chick. And by the way, you're smelling everyone's breath and they have to get right up in your ear and it's like everyone's like, it's like everything's just a blur. It's boom, boom, boom. You're just being beat over the head with it.
Whose executive decision was this?
Everybody who throws an after party says, we need a DJ.
Yeah.
The DJ needs to be an urban guy, and he needs to play the dance music so we have to hear the thong song.
It needs to be a happening place.
It's got to be happening.
What's wrong with some onion, a canapé? You know what I'm saying?
My point is
glass of wine,
it has
a cigar.
To be happening even if we don't want it to happen.
But
it's got to be happening.
The style there, taking pictures. And
it's got to feel like a scene, and then what everyone's got to do is, like, if you want to talk, you got to go outside now.
Right.
And now, hey, buddy, where are you going with that drink? Yeah. No, put it down. Now, there's this other thing, too. They can't bring your drink outside.
Where was this in New York?
This is at like Gotham Club or something, big club over there. I
hate socializing.
At a certain point, I realized that everyone in the room was white and over 40, and everyone was screaming. And you know, Jeff Ross was like, spitting pimento loaf and a Cape Cod in my ear while I got hepatitis. And I just thought, what are we doing? We're adults. Can we just have a talk? How about some goddamn classical music? Make all you idiots a little bit smarter. Really, let's put a little nice jazz on. Enlighten the room a little bit. I swear to Christ that if I hear that goddamn hey, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. I am so hot, I got to take my clothes. Bunch of 45-year-olds with Ivy League degrees sitting there, listen, it's getting hot in here, I got to take my clothes off. Jesus Christ. Come on, white people, stand up for yourselves. You like jazz? You like a little Steely Dan? Admit it. It's not wrong. It's okay. You're a little bit older. You're a little bit smarter. It's all right.
A little bit less cool.
A little bit less cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, when did being stupid become cool in this country?
Oh, honey, don't even.
All right, don't get Greg
don't
started.
Start,
do
man.
Not get Greg. Greg Proops here.
It's not stupid. It's like a passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We used to go through it with Tara, our stupid phone screener, the 3 years we were here. Like, you'd go like, hey, you'd make some reference, and she'd go like, like, I know that. And you'd go like, well, haven't you heard of, you know, Alice from the Brady Bunch? Please. And it's like, you walk away feeling like, geez, I should have shut my mouth. And you realize, wait a minute, I knew the answer. She didn't.
Yeah.
Why am I the asshole?
Yeah.
There's something that makes you stupid about, somehow knowing information makes you,
uncool.
Ooh, he's Squaresville. Yeah. What's he doing?
Old.
Watching the news? Oh, man. All right.
Hey, I'm taking two calls tonight. It's awesome.
It's getting hot in here.
So take off all your clothes.
I am getting so hot. I'm going to take my clothes off. Yeah, we love that crap. Ugh, it's that song, Blow Anus. All right, I'm done.
Oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Oh, yeah, come on, Drew.
When we come back.
All right, when we come back. Drew, bust a rhyme. Greg Proops here tonight. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Cues on, cues on, views on, cues on, views on, Suzak. My cues, my kizzer, my kizzer, Ozzy. It's all kizzer.
Yeah.
It's always like my kizzer. It's always like my zoom, my z, my zoom, zoom, z.
Yeah, well, I stand corrected, everybody.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy. Oh, God.
Man.
Greg Proops here tonight.
This is funky most. Thank you very much.
He's going to be at Largo, which is no longer Club Largo, just Largo.
You can call it what you like.
All right, I'm going to call it Largo in Los Angeles on April 5th. Where all the
I'm having my own chat show there.
Yeah, it's called the Greg Proops Chat Show. Yeah,
nice. I spent ages on that, agonizing.
The title.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, yeah. So he's going to be there on the 5th, and you want to go see that. It's also going to be in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club.
Thank you for that.
That's April 15th through the 18th. And going to be on Kilborn tomorrow night. So you can catch him there. And Ethan from Survivor is going to be on Kilborn tomorrow night. And then he's coming out here. That's what we hear. All right.
Which one's he?
He would be the very attractive Jewish soccer player.
Okay. So he's not Susan Hawk.
No.
Because I always...
She's blonde.
Oh, right.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. He's the...
Ergo my confusion.
Curly-haired, swarthy-looking
third year?
One.
He won the third one?
Yeah, I think he won Africa, which was a very dusty, dirty one. Made me want to shower afterward.
Okay.
Amy?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, my husband and I have been married since May of 2002. Before that, we were high school sweethearts. He became a sex addict when he was around the age of 15. I guess the question I'm having is, since we've been married and when we were dating in high school, he has cheated on me a couple times. After the anger has set in and after, you know, bitching him out for a few weeks, after that, I am almost finding myself taking a pride in having other women want to be with my husband, and I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a weird, primitive, biological...
Yeah, and I think everybody has a modicum of that. Not that much, but a little bit.
Tiny bit.
I think about the opposite, which is no one would F your partner with a pole with a dildo duct tape to the end of it.
That's
actually worse if you break it down.
Can you do that?
Of course.
Yeah, actually, the worst is really acting out the second one, which is I actually did a tour with the pool with the dildo on the end of it.
Is there a length specific?
It telescopes. Telescopes.
Oh, okay.
10 to 12.
Amy, what do you define as sex addict? Where are you coming up with that diagnosis?
Around the age of 15, he started calling phone sex lines.
Yeah.
He ran up his mother's phone bill, almost $1,000 worth, so she put him in counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had numerous amounts of sexual partners, and mm-hmm. he's been going through counseling since the time he was 16, and now that we are married, we go together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see why you didn't want to let this gem out of your sight.
Was he sexually
abused?
Is he a trauma survivor, or was he sexually abused?
Yes, he was as a child.
Who sexually abused him?
It was a neighbor.
Why isn't he going into some kind of 12-step program?
I have no idea.
What should he go? Where should he go?
SA.
Really?
That's
Oh, well, SA for his...
sexual addiction.
His sexual addiction. But he needs some private therapy, not couples therapy.
No, but he's had since 15.
Well...
It may not be the right focus.
Though. Yeah, maybe... Is this guy going to see a therapist alone?
Yes, he does... half with me and half by himself.
I see. But he effed his first five therapists. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. So, Amy, look, we don't have enough time to figure out what's wrong with you that you would be attracted to this guy.
A simple thing. Did your dad cheat?
No.
Okay. Was he a kind of an idiot, your dad?
No. My dad is actually a very good guy. The smartest man I've ever met in my entire life.
Not an alcoholic, your dad?
No.
Okay.
Wow. Does he got to be disappointed then? Good guy. He does not deserve you. And I mean that in a very bad way.
Where does the pride come from? Is it just a simple, like, some people are attracted to my husband, so that makes me feel good?
I think it's primitive primate stuff. It's like, I've got the alpha male.
Yeah.
This is his harem.
So
I'm part of the harem.
She's turning semen into lemonade. Mm. It's basically what's going on. Hey, Amy, don't have any kids.
Well, we already have one.
All right. Well, we're very disappointed in that.
Well, at least you're getting treatment.
Yeah.
All right. 12-step.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Uh-huh. All right. Bye. All right. Find a family of like beaver and let them raise a child.
She's calling from Texas. Armadillo. There we go.
Armadillo.
They brought up once tonight.
They're good to their own. The armadillos.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't like the man, but they're good to their own. Greg Proops here tonight. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ethan is in here tomorrow night from Survivor. Greg Proops in here tonight. You remember Greg from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And also you can find him coming up on April 5th at Largo out here in Los Angeles doing the Greg Proops. It is Greg Proops, but it's not the Greg Proops. Greg Proops chat show. All right, Drew, now you got something to plug.
That's right. Well, our show does.
That's right.
Getting behind the girl next door.
I've seen the film.
Yeah.
Excellent.
If you want to see it for free, you can get a pass at girlnextdoortickets@earthlink.net.
Mm-hmm.
Print out your ticket. Bring it to the Arclight in Hollywood. I'm assuming the night and time will be on the website.
Fantastic. Like airplane seats.
For all other callers 17 years and older who get on the air tonight, they will automatically be sent a pair of tickets to go see the show near them.
Let me tell you something about that Arclight. You pay an extra couple of dollars, but let me tell you, kiddies, you're worth it.
Hey, you're going for free with this
I'm
promotion.
Talking about in general.
Yeah.
They give you a nice little popcorn. Guy walks you right to your seat. You can have some a-hole sitting where you want to sit.
Yeah. Oh,
it's nice.
Right.
I saw Master and Commander there.
Yeah.
And I went with my wife and a buddy and his wife. And women didn't care for that.
The movie or the theater?
No, they love the theater. Because there's no screaming or yelling or any kind of activities. It's just people sit quietly and watch the bloody movie.
And you know what? It's the seating is at such a steep rake that you don't see the person's head who's in front of you.
No, it's awesome. And there's no chit-chat at that theater.
No, there is not.
It's nice. But then I just meant Master and Commander was not a...
Not a chit-flick.
Not for girls, yeah.
Yeah.
Girls. My wife was like, Russell Crowe wasn't good-looking enough.
Yeah,
I didn't care about their relationship with the violin and whatnot. And I could see them. Well, I know. I did, too. My buddy was watching, and he had read all the books, all the Patrick O'Brien books. He was literally gurgling with joy at one point, which I'd very rarely seen him
do. That was semen.
Oh.
That's what he made.
Well, there's a lot of semen in the movie.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is an excellent movie that women don't care about because, A, women aren't interested in the past. They're just not. They're interested in your past.
I was going to say, what about the time that you parked the car and their thing and you left the thing and the thing?
The time you told them that your friends were smarter than their friends. That's the kind of history they study. They're not interested in world history. They're interested in your history as it pertains to them.
You looked at my cousin when we were at my other cousin's wedding, okay?
Yes, and I'm never forgetting that. I could tell what you were thinking.
Right. That was 17 years ago,
that's
and
right.
I'm still hacked off.
That's right. They're pissed that either you want to F their friends or you don't like their friends. That's about it. And after all, isn't that the only two modes you really have with your friend, with your old lady's friends? Is that really? There's the ones you want to F and the ones you never want to see again. And then there's the one who sort of straddles the fence. Like, I like to F her with my eyes closed. I'd like to put one of those terrorist transport pillowcases on my head and have sex with her. There'll be no talking.
I'd like to camp X-ray her.
Right. But they do not want to know about the history.
They don't like war. So.
They don't like war.
No.
They don't like.
It was so boring to my. I swear to God, my wife. I really wish I'd brought like another movie with me because I could see her and my buddy's wife just sinking into the chair and like. And it's the arc light, so it's comfortable. You can fall asleep.
Here's a great idea. You know, in the minivans and the headrests, they got the kids' movies playing there.
Yeah.
You got the Like Mike is playing, so the folks can drive Yosemite and not have to deal with the kids screaming.
I love
screaming,
that it's
right?
Like Mike.
I makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
We put the chick film in the headrest. Right. It's the male theater.
Yeah, yeah.
While we're watching Master and Commander, they're watching some
the Diane Keaton Jack Nicholson
Hugh Grant joint Under a Tuscan Sun is playing
under a Tuscan Sun
in the headrest of the seat in front of you.
They're watching a Nora Ephron film festival in
that's right. In the 6x6 plasma screen that's tucked into the headrest. This is ultimately where we're going. No more arguments about the chick flick versus the 3-hour at sea maritime
thing. I like some chick flicks. I sit through them.
Yeah.
But man, I wished I hadn't brought her to Master and Commander.
No, when we get the Nora Ephron thing going in the headrest, that's going to take care of itself. They discreetly put their little headphones on, and that's it.
I like how they're little headphones because their heads are so small, right? Because they're shorties.
It's confusing.
We learned this from hip hop.
Because
they are shorties.
Russell Crowe gets stabbed with a bayonet, and you see your gal lets a chuckle out
right.
Something delightful happened.
Yeah,
in the
because Diane Lane something good.
Diane
happened
Lane
to her.
Made a funny with the paint. Yes. All right. There you go. Now we're done, right? Okay. A better idea. We erect an island where they can all just go. Yes. Okay. No. All right. Let's get to the phones.
Michael.
Hello.
You're 21.
Yes.
What's up?
I found a. Like a bump on my penis earlier today, and I was actually wondering if it's possible to get a pimple on your penis.
It is possible. Mm-hmm. Is it look like a pimple?
It does. There's no like pus or anything. It's just like a bump, and I'm just really worried.
Are you sexually active?
Yes, I am.
And it's not a blister.
No, it's it just looks like.
Well, if it forms a whitehead, it's a pimple. If the pus comes out of it, it's a pimple. But if it ulcerates or if it burns or hurts, ought to be looked at.
Now, what's the difference between ulcerating and getting a whitehead visually?
Ulcer is if a crater forms.
Yeah. Okay.
With red in the middle, raised edges, that kind of thing.
Right. Doesn't come to a head. It's like it's like a volcano more than it is a Matterhorn.
Yes. It's like a meteor.
How's that different than suppurating?
Suppurative is a zit suppurate. That's the pus coming out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
So, I mean, can't you tell the difference between a venereal disease and a zit?
Well, I've never had a venereal disease, so how am I?
How dare you, Adam? How dare you?
Well, does it not look like a zit?
It really doesn't. It just looks like it looks like a zit underneath the skin. Like,
all right.
Is it hard?
It is
the bump.
Hard, but it's just, I don't know, it's like, yeah, it's hard.
Is it on the penis or is it on the pubic?
No, it's on the shaft. It's like right below the head.
All right. Well, you know, again, things that ulcer do not hurt are a problem. Things that hurt and burn are a problem.
Yeah. Burning's bad.
Yeah.
So what should you do? Go to a doctor?
He's going to have to. Have we ever had satisfaction with people describing a skin process?
No.
Never.
No.
People do not know how to describe it.
Except for when I was describing the carbuncle I got next to my anus that time when I was 19. That was satisfying. You got it.
Yeah, but you were describing what was expressed from it. You weren't describing the actual...
Did you have it lanced, or did you take care of that one on your own?
I lanced
the latter.
On my own, but the only way I could lance it was a series of mirrors. Much, you know how they think the Egyptians...
I think I've heard this one before.
Thomas Edison. I believe we had this discussion last time you were here.
Did you go to the hollow mirrors at, like, the boardwalk in Santa Cruz or something?
No, but I had to use a succession of them to get to... get to the center.
So it's like Lady from Shanghai, the Orson Welles film. You just kept firing and firing.
Right.
And the mirrors kept breaking and breaking.
Well, I look at it more as like they hypothesize that this is how the Egyptians got light to the center of the pyramid. It just kept going. They just kept bouncing it until they got to the tomb. This is how I got to King Tut's tomb.
Yes, a series of highly polished golden surfaces.
That's right. King Butts in your face.
King Butts. And by the time I lanced King Butts, it was it looked like a gay porn film down there. It was not pretty.
That was Butthotep.
Not pretty. All right, but very satisfying. And let me tell you something. After walking around with a large carbuncle right next to your a-hole for about a week, when that thing finally blows, you spring to your feet, and the sound of music just starts bellowing in your ears, and you're running down the street kissing your mailman and the old neighbor, and it's like you're just hopping and sprinting. I mean, it never felt so alive.
What's the difference between a carbuncle and a boil?
Same.
Oh, it's the same.
Is it exactly the same?
Exactly the same. Well,
really?
I think technically, as I was trained, a furuncle is the same as a boil, and a carbuncle is something that can burrow underneath and come up in multiple spots.
So yeah, carbuncle seems more like
the same thing.
Bad times.
It's all bad times.
Slightly not archaic, but you certainly read it in old time lit a little more than you do.
If you got like a
Master and Commander, they would have a carbuncle. Yes.
If you got a carbuncle on your car seat, it would be a bad day. You get one on your anus, it is a nightmare. You understand? Do you people hear me?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
You're 20?
He's still hanging. Oh, it's a different guy.
Yeah. What's happening?
I'm trying to get a girl that I work with. But it's kind of a messed up situation. She's engaged to be married, and she just found out she's pregnant. I actually have another guy I work with. I was telling him, one of my friends. Well, he went and told her, and I don't know. Word got back, anyways. She wants to be with me too, but she's kind of afraid to leave him just because of the whole situation with her being pregnant and everything.
And being married.
And being engaged. I mean,
Dave, what is the matter with you?
What's that?
What are you thinking, or is it just that there's nothing going on? You're not thinking.
About what?
Yeah, there we go. That said it all right there.
Well,
I'll tell you
what says it all. Engaged to be married. That is that's the white trash tip-off there.
It's a target practice then?
When you hear the to be married after engaged.
And gag to be marred.
Oh, yeah, they say it that way. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, when you hear
it's a little banjo playing in the background.
Right. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Listen now, baby doll, you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
You got your whole life ahead of you. It's not a great life, but it's yours and it's ahead of you. And you don't want to get mired in this mess. This is a chaotic woman. Here's the thing. It's called Catch-22. If she leaves her fiancé and engages in a relationship with you, she's chaotic.
She's going to do this again.
And you don't want to be with her. Really, the only way you want to be with her is if she says, I'm in love with this man and I'm 2 months pregnant. How dare you? That's when it would be okay to be with her, ironically, when you can't be with her.
I want everyone just to try to put themselves inside Dave's head. And feel what it would feel like to be a 20-year-old male with motivational priorities that drive you to do things.
Wow.
Think about it.
Let me climb in there.
Think about it.
Wow, spacious. It's like a blimp hanger.
Lots of room.
What's that that handball in the far corner of the blimp hanger? What is that? Oh, that's a brain. Wow. So much room in here.
Gosh, it's got its own weather in here.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello?
You could play highlight in here.
Yeah,
but
let's play some highlight.
But it's good.
Well, set up a half court on this side, and we'll play highlight on this side. And we'll have some paramutual betting over here. We'll have a small track. Maybe we'll race ahead, set up a dog track. Okay, we got a lot of room.
But it's
plus,
good.
Oh, wait a minute. Leno called. He wants to park some of his cars in here.
So I should not try to be with her, or what do I do?
Yeah, that's kind of what we're saying. But think about the priorities of that brain. All he can think about is his attraction to a female, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who she is, regardless of what it implies. Just can't. He's overcome.
Well,
he can't.
They work together, and she's cute.
She's pregnant, and she's engaged.
Yes, and
that's enough.
And she's how old?
She's 19.
Oh, all right. And all he can think about is screwing her. That's funny.
No, no, no. I mean, yeah, that too. But I mean, I like her like more than I've ever liked any other girl.
How many words have passed between you and her, Dave?
A lot. We talk a lot now because we both kind of feel the same way.
No.
I think right now the biggest thing, they just signed a lease on their house, and she's worried that if she leaves him, she's still going to have to pay all this money and this and that.
Dave's not been doing too good with the girls. She could be out $188. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Where do you do work? What kind of place?
At a retail place.
All right. And is there anything wrong with you that you couldn't meet other young women who are free and clear of babies and boyfriends?
I guess not. It just kind of happened. Okay. It's not like I was really out.
Is there a reason you haven't had girlfriends, Dave, in the past?
No.
Okay. Dave, hold on. Let me talk to a man named Andrew. Dave.
Yeah.
You realize I'm a genius, right?
Yeah, you guys are pretty cool.
Pretty smart. Now, here's what I have to say to all you dumb people out there. You do not have to be smart yourself. You only have to be smart enough to listen to smart people. You don't have to be smart. Just take the advice. It's like reading the instructions. You don't have to invent the TiVo or the VCR. Just look at the goddamn picture and plug the cord in the right place.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to be so smug as you're going to throw the directions away, now you're screwed.
Or try to build the box from scratch.
Right. You listen to me, who are smarter than thee.
Yes.
I mean ye.
Yes.
All right. Thou. See, I get excited. I break into old English almost
I was
every
say,
time. Yeah.
Should right. thou jest?
So here's the deal, Dave. Do not get involved with her. This will be chaotic. And many a guy smarter and many more smarter and a handful dumber than you have been brought down by this very situation. We talk to him every night. You get in, you get pregnant, you get hooked up. She starts boffing one of your friends. And the next thing you know, you're 22 and a half, and your life has hit the skids completely.
And you've got somebody else's kid, and now your own kid coming along.
And
That's right. The
ex-husband stroke boyfriend who may be violent and or
yes.
there's some other horrible situation.
Yes.
Thank you.
It is. Now, let's talk about this, because it's essentially impulse control is what gets people into trouble in this country and in life. You know what I mean? Which is, I am going for a very quick, short, small payday that I could be paying for the rest of my life, but I don't care.
That is that 20-year-old male mind.
Yeah.
Can't get past any of these things.
But
you can't think past Fresno.
It's not all of them.
No, I know. Yeah, they have to abstract.
And that is the whole thing. Yeah. And if you want to know what success is about, it's about delayed gratification. It's about putting that off. I mean, that's college.
There's another
right?
way. Yeah, it's
that's
about
everything.
It's about
that's
taking
internships.
It's about taking a dominant impulse and then choosing to behave in the manner of a subdominant desire or impulse.
Right. Now, the question is being able to control that dominant impulse,
yeah.
is that the essence of intelligence in many ways? Or did you, for instance, the Jewish kids I grew up with, all successful. Now, were they able to control their dominant impulse, or did they not really have one?
It seemed like my
Goyim friends that had a little difficulty controlling their dominant impulse had a dominant impulse that was bigger than both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And could not be controlled with a whip and a chair.
There is that, yeah. I believe that happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Drew is a man of exquisite passion.
Whip and a chair.
Surely. You've been at the mercy of your dominant impulse.
Mercy.
That's right. That's what the chicks were begging for.
Mercy.
No, they were passionate saying thank man. You in French.
Mercy, yeah. Passionate man. Greg, you speak some French, yes?
Un petit peu.
That means a ton. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Oui? All right. Nicole?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's going on?
I've been working with this girl for about 3 years now, and she's got a lot of chaos. She's got a lot of trouble, and she's always talking about going home and leaving her car in the garage running, and nobody would ever find me because nobody cares about me, and I'm going to go jump off a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
She's driving me insane. I can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. She calls me at home before we go to work, and she talks to me at work all night long about her crappy life, and she calls me on her way home from work. Mm-hmm. I can't take it anymore. I'm pregnant. I don't need this extra stress from her. And
you
I'm wondering, what can I do to kind of get away from her without really setting her off, you know?
All right. Very interesting point, something we talk about on this show quite a bit.
Mm.
And it's a sort of finesse thing, but it really doesn't take, you don't have to burn a lot of calories.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. First off, if you suspect she's serious or she even really makes threats about killing herself, you're sort of obliged to alert the proper authority.
A, it's terribly unfair to you and abusive to you for her to dump that on you.
So
you don't have to have any remorse in taking action. And then B, because these are very, very serious issues, she needs to get to somebody who is actually able to manage these things and care for her, not you.
She's in therapy. She's seeing a therapist.
Well, then call her therapist.
Why does she call her therapist?
Because then it's off your
hands. How'd she get the therapist's number?
You tell her, listen, you call the therapist, say, this woman is threatening suicide.
I need your shrink's number.
Constantly, and
how does she get the shrink's number?
Ask her. This woman,
are you not going to ask her for the shrink's phone number?
All right,
kind of fantasy snow globe are you living in?
All right, listen, the shrink's name, all you need is the name. You go look up the number.
You know what you could do? Nicole, here's what you do. I agree with Drew, but only if you do it my way.
Do you have a series of mirrors in your possession, Nicole?
And a sharp number two pin that your stepmother would let you use. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to talk to her and say, I'm looking to get some therapy myself. Could you give me your shrink's number? You think your shrink's good?
Trixie.
She gives you the number.
Trixie.
Yeah, you say you and your lesbian partner are having some difficulties.
My lesbian partner.
That one's for me. And you want to get a little therapy, how about your shrink's number? Then call the shrink and tell them about the suicide.
Now, Nicole, why do you have such poor boundaries that you felt you have to rescue this person, and then once you're sucked into her chaos, you can't set appropriate boundaries. You can't keep a healthy distance from this person.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I understand you feel bad for her. Why can't you set boundaries?
None of us at work can stand her, and I feel guilty. She's had this crappy life, and I hate to be one more person who kind of, says, leave me alone.
Well, here's the problem, and something these people need to know. When people don't want to hang out with you, it's not some sort of cosmic spin of the social wheel. It's that you are putting something forward that is unattractive. And while you don't deserve to be beat up for it, you shouldn't have it reinforced by having people returning your phone calls either.
Right.
You should be changing. So get the shrink's number under my plan. I call it Plan Falcon. Yes, Drew? I give it a code name.
Of course.
Yeah. My God, you're a criminal deviant.
I know.
I adore your genius.
Thank you.
You could
sir.
Take over this city with a crew of guys if we had striped T-shirts and bowler hats.
Yeah.
Lived in a hideout in the flatlands
and
or
like blackjacks. And those mini
Saps.
Sort of mini clubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of a club with a weird sort of leather handle
on it
that was good for
lead.
For hitting people
filled with
head.
Lead.
Made of lead.
Yeah.
Knocking people out.
Brace people with them and whack them in the knuckles.
Yeah, do that. And then look, and I'm sure we all go through it. Actually, Drew doesn't because he's a passionate
man. Read
Let me ask you, you're an intelligent person.
Read my book, Nicole. That's what I wrote the book about. The book,
Drew's
Cracked,
book.
Was about needing to be a rescuer and how unhealthy that is for not just you but also the person you're trying to help.
What's your book called?
Cracked.
Yes. Because I find myself in that situation.
Being a rescuer.
Well, the thing is, you go through a lifetime pattern of indulging people who are at once abusive and, of course, needy. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself feeling guilty and then angry with yourself because you...
Then you feel resentful for them for violating your boundaries.
Precisely.
And abusing and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they'll get angry with you for letting them down the slightest bit, and then you're angry at them for not being more grateful for you're laying yourself out on their behalf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's
well, how does one break that then?
Read my book. You're on about it. It's not an easy thing to do. And some people could say you have to have therapy because it's about having real relationships with more appropriate kinds of boundaries. Mm. So you learn and practice thousands of
things. It's not
everybody,
ways. Though. It's singular. You know
it's
what
codependency.
I mean?
It's what codependency is.
Hey, but Drew.
Yeah.
And Greg. Don't you think.
Adam, right?
And yes. Friends call me Ace.
Okay.
And maybe it's because of the therapy is the only way you can achieve this. But ultimately.
Yeah.
And maybe ultimately. This is a little Pollyanna-ish. But ultimately. You have to have your own sort of yardstick that you measure yourself by. Are you being fair? Are you being unfair?
In terms of...
Do you owe this person? Do they owe you? And then make your calls or don't make your calls accordingly. I mean, there are plenty of times when people get angry at you, and it's really you should be angry at them, or it certainly should. It's at least a push. Now, just because they're angry at you doesn't mean you have to apologize. If you check your yardstick and your yardstick is fair and well calibrated, you might then not call them back and apologize just because they demand one. But you have to then go to bed that night and be okay with it because you trust your yardstick.
Well, it's not just the yardstick, though, but you have what happens in a situation like this is that their pain triggers something in you. You feel responsible for rescuing them from their pain.
Yeah.
And leaving them in pain because of some remnant experience of your own leaves you with an intolerable feeling state that you can't let go of. It's almost like a tooth you want to wiggle.
Right.
You got to go do something. You got to make it okay.
All right. That's getting pretty cathartic.
I know, but it's one matter for a workmate. Like, this woman doesn't sound like she's really intimate with this person.
Right.
It's just someone who bitches at her all the time and she feels bad for her because no one likes her and she's the... You know, the run to the litter. It's another thing when it's a mate or a friend
or
you know.
And you're in, yeah.
And like I said, you just calibrate your scale every other week and then
you're right about that, though. People will come at you with anger when you're the one who should be angry.
Well, Greg Proops is here. We'll take a quick break. I'm going to have a good cry and a hug with Drew in the girls' bathroom. Yes, I said the girls. I find it makes it makes it easier for Drew to let go in there. And
I'll be in the master and commander's room.
We'll be
let go.
Right back.
Euphemism.
We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Great groups here tonight. Always a good time. Smart, knows what you're talking about. That's what
and I
love
derive
about
some
Greg.
Insight from your nocturnal perambulations here.
Thank you.
I do.
You know what happened?
I was thinking about a situation in my own life.
You were.
I was.
Yeah. Well, listen. There's nothing. No rule that says you can't learn a little something listening to some talk radio. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ethan Zahn. All right. Let's go back on autopilot.
Yeah, squash.
Could. Ethan Zahn's going to be in here tomorrow night from Survivor, one of my favorite shows. Greg is going to be at Largo on Club Largo, as we used to call it back in the day, April 5th. Am I boring you, Drew?
Huh? Not at all.
May
Not
I say who
all.
My guests are?
Yes, I'd like to know.
Lewis Black, topical
funny.
Satirist.
Saw and, him in New York last week.
Actress... and writer and director Ileana Douglas.
Not funny. Don't like the woman.
Okay.
So,
is it sort of a talk show format kind of thing?
It is exactly a talk show format, except that we avoid the... golly, you were making a movie. That must have been really difficult to learn Kung Fu and go to Fiji for 8 weeks.
Right.
I refuse to play that at all. I don't care at all what you had to do to get ready for your role.
Where is Largo?
Good.
Largo's on, thank you for asking, 432 North Fairfax, right across the street from Cantor's Delicatessen.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Directly across from there. And they have a lot. And John Bryan is my orchestra, who is an esteemed musical Mad Hatter and scorer. That's the really... awkward way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Writes composer.
Right.
Can we say composer? What's
music.
The Jim Carrey picture, the new one? It has a very Baroque name.
Sunshine.
There we are, whatever that one is.
Yeah.
He wrote the score for that.
Wow.
And he wrote the score for Magnolia, and he wrote the score.
Wow.
He's like a genius. And the guy comes and does my show, which is...
Nice. Speaking of scoring, that makes me cavil. And Ileana Douglas is an actress who you would recognize in a heartbeat if you saw her. She has a sort of crazy deep eyes.
Yes, she does.
Beautiful in the exotic
way. She's in Pluto Nash. Sorry, it was on cable tonight.
Oh.
I flipped fine.
She was... the sort of next big thing about 3 years ago, and in every interesting movie that came out between 98 and 2001, but then haven't seen her, I guess, started writing.
Yeah, she made a picture that was at Aspen. Remember that show Action with Jay Moore that was on for like half a season?
That's right.
She was in that as well.
All right. Well,
To Die For, she's the sister who knocks off Nicole Kidman.
Well, you know, the thing I like about me is... 750 movies are released theatrically each year. I see two and announce if I don't see an actress or an actor in the two movies that I saw. And by the way, I saw On Any Sunday 3 twice. Those are the two movies I saw. Documentary about extreme snowmobiling. I then announced the person has fallen off the edge of there.
Right, right.
Because they weren't in the movie Honey, you didn't know. They were not in Emmanuel Goes to Ancient Rome.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
It's so much better than the other. Ancient Rome. Can I get one more plug in?
He built a time machine and banged Nero.
And it's wonderful.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And Pompeii goes off in more ways than...
Yes.
I'm in Boston next week at the Comedy Connection Easter weekend.
Do not want to miss that. Are they done with that big dig? I'm going out.
The big dig is over, yeah.
Is the big dig over?
I believe so.
What's the big dig?
That's the Boston.
By the bay. They've been building this multiple...
Oh, my God. I was there last summer.
By Faneuil Hall, kind of.
Yeah. That's where the club is, in Faneuil Hall.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. $500 billion.
There's a produce market outside Faneuil Hall, too.
The Haymarket.
Yeah, the Haymarket. Are you from Boston?
I went to college out there.
Oh, of course you did. Which school? There's like 7,000.
I went to Amherst.
Amherst. Lovely.
Let me.
You and Emily Dickinson.
Let me ask how this works, everybody. I'm no politician, but for the second year in a row, and maybe we've got 10, 15 years of this put together, the most congested intersections in the entire world were laid out, and we have like four of the top 10
in Los Angeles
in a 3 mile radius. Yeah. By the way,
and I crossed three of them twice a night.
Yeah, not over the breadth and scope of the entire city of Los Angeles, but really it
was Los Angeles
within like a 4 mile square radius. Three of the most congested intersections on the planet. By the way,
right, more than Bombay.
Right, are here. The big dig cost $700 billion to build a tunnel from JFK's old house to Boston International. We can't get 50 cents to fill in a pothole on the 10 freeway. How's this work over here? We got to get some payola, some coke money. What's up? When are we going to finish that bullet train that's going to Vegas, by the way? When can we get a couple of bucks over here in the good old Los Angeles area to get traffic moving?
We're still in the red. We aren't going to see any for
a long time. We're not seeing any bucks, man.
All right.
The good thing about that construction in Boston is I had 20 minutes to open the show with. Because believe you me, they find that funny.
Oh, yeah.
The whole city is covered with orange webbing. I mean, the whole city is covered with orange webbing, except for Beacon Hill and the nice areas.
What they did there from a construction standpoint is bigger than the pyramids. I mean, they went underneath that. They tunneled underneath the entire town and had to go through existing sewer and rail lines. And it's crazy. It's
basically at the ocean's edge, too.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Right.
Amazing. Natalie? Yeah, and listen, hold on a second.
We can't hear Natalie Anderson.
We've been trying to get the Terrace off of Los Angeles. Terrace, that's the place. Yeah. Boston. Now, I'm not suggesting the Terrace hit the United States, but if they do, they got to hit somewhere. Let's make it somewhere other than Los Angeles. We got a lot of poor Mexicans and bad freeways out here. We got nothing you want.
Which is most congested intersection in Los Angeles?
Well, they got the 10. We got the 10 where it meets the 405.
Oh, the 405.
They got the 405 where it meets the 101, and then they got the 110 where it meets the 10.
Right, the 110-10.
Yeah.
110-101.
The point is we are a city that has three of the most in
Irvine
the world. Can we get a little help over here?
Yeah. 405-101 said was the worst.
Yeah, 405-101.
No one ever wants to take the 405.
No.
The 405 is like world famous for being the most horrible, horrible.
Well, it's called the 405 because it takes 4 hours and 5 minutes to get over the goddamn hill.
Yeah.
Travel 6 miles.
It is ridiculous.
All right. How about a little federal help here? That's all I'm saying. A little bingo.
This town was never ready for this many cars.
Natalie?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I'm pregnant and my boyfriend's 30 and my parents won't let us get married.
Sounds like everything's on track for you.
Yeah, you're 18, right?
Yeah.
So your parents
don't really have much of a say in that, do they?
Well, I still live at home because they won't let me out.
Yeah, but if you were to get married, you wouldn't be living at home. I'm not suggesting you should, by the way. This guy sounds like an idiot, but
yeah.
It's just we're wondering why an 18-year-old would have to get...
I just turned 18. Like,
yeah, well, at that point, you don't need anybody's permission to do anything.
Yeah,
see, that's the fact, but, you know, I'm glad you're listening to your parents.
The 30-year-old guy wants to marry you?
Yeah.
He does.
And you're pregnant with his child?
Yes.
Do your parents know that?
What?
Do your parents know that you're pregnant?
Yes.
What does the guy do for work?
He's in construction.
Of course. That's bad. What field of the construction? What trade?
Crane operator. Framing or crane?
Framing.
Uh-oh. That's he went from albino to translucent trash. It's just the word framing. All right, that's bad times. He's a horrible guy. He's a racist. He's got a fifth grade education. And be prepared, by the way, after you have the child, for him to refer to the child as the kid. I used to work with these guys. Yeah, the kid wants braces, but I'm getting a new Kirker pipe for the jet ski. That's how it works.
But
all right. Yes.
He's really sweet. Yeah, I don't think he would ever do that.
Okay. Well, then, Natalie, you're pregnant. He wants to get married. You want to get married. And you're 18, so there's no law that can keep you in your home anymore. So you're going to have to move in with him, get married, and set up house.
Were you not pregnant and planning to get married, what was your life going to be like?
Stringing beads.
A living hell?
Yeah.
So you're running away from your parents?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your dad bad? Did he abuse you?
No. My dad's great, but...
What's the living hell?
Well, just lots of problems.
Well, your dad's great. How much hell? I understand. I'm confused.
Well, it's nothing about that. It's just that... I don't want my family to, like, disown me. I love them so much.
No,
but...
if you were not pregnant and not going to marry this guy, what were you going to do? Going to go to school?
Yeah.
And were you going to have a career?
Yes.
All right. Here's the deal. Please, no homeschooling for the child.
Oh,
I beg of you.
Oh, there you buddy.
I beg of you.
Yeah, Natalie's got that planned right now, I can tell.
All right. Go marry the guy and move out. You're pregnant. I don't know what to say. He's 30. You're 18. That's not unthinkable.
Okay.
She wants to get married. Her phone line is somehow cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. I was looking at a Penthouse magazine today.
Great.
Hey, have you seen a Penthouse magazine in a while, Greg?
I've certainly noticed it as I've driven by the newsstand.
They've really upped the ante, you know, complete with urination and full penetration and everything. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't backed off on that?
No, they have not.
Because I noticed a couple years ago it was getting wet in there.
Yeah, it is. So we got to take off all your clothes.
I was like, yeah.
So I was noticing the full penetration and oral sex pictorial, and I thought I could handle that. Like, I thought I wouldn't be down with the porn film because I would feel that'd be too much pressure. I mean, actually physically
what age you talking
having
about?
Sex. I'm talking about now.
Oh, right now. Yeah,
but a pictorial where I had sex.
Yeah, but how
with you in it? In it?
Yeah.
How is it different to be in still photographs versus a motion picture?
It's unclear. It's unclear whether they have sex
or
someone just takes pictures because a lot of them seem posed. You know what I mean?
Well, they're being photographed, so they're aware of that.
I know they're aware of it, but what I mean is are they having intercourse when the man's penis is inside of her?
Well, technically, yes.
Yes, technically. But, I mean, are
are they
just taking...
posed that way?
Yes.
You can't just pose that way.
I think I might. I think I could. Drew, please, help me out.
Could you? Yes, you have the ninja.
Undo the drawstring and don't ask and let your mind free. Free up your mind for a second. Loosen the drawstring, loosen your mind, and just help me show Greg something here.
Oh, you're just going to pose?
All I'm saying is there's, you know, poses where the guy's standing there with an erection. The girl is giving him oral sex, but she's not really giving it to him. She's sort of posing with his penis, and I just thought to myself, I think I could do that. That could be my thing.
I'm very proud of you.
That's the nice. Actual porn movie, I'm not so sure. It's too much pressure, feels a little intimate.
Oh, well,
but this could be good.
Adam, I don't want to... burst your pretty balloon, as it were, but you even if you were just doing the still photographs and just posing and you weren't actually doing the deed,
right.
There will still be a crew of people and lights everywhere and makeup artists. So it's pretty much the same atmosphere.
But his thing is he won't be having sex. He'll just be posing.
It doesn't involve so much movement. But then it's got to get a little weird because they do have a money shot. You know what I mean?
They do have a money shot.
So there's got to be a point where the guy's, you know, putting more film in the camera. The guy's sort of standing there helping himself.
All right, enough.
Yeah, don't think about that?
No.
Let me tell you something I thought about. I thought about a pictorial where, see, they always build into it. It's by the page 9, you get to the money shot. The first thing is they're shooting pool at the biker bar and the chick walks in, you know. That's the first thing. And then eventually her top comes off and it leads by page 9.
Yeah, there's
the
a scenario.
Shot. Yeah, I would like the one, here's my Penthouse pictorial. First page, me and the chick at the biker bar. Second page, money shot. Third page, I'm watching TV and she's talking and I'm kind of tuning her out.
Right, right.
fourth page, I'm eating. She's talking again. Right. Again, I have a sort of 10,000-yard stare. I'm tuning out. Fourth one.
You have the lovey shades on.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable. Again, she's gesticulating with her arms. I have the eye shades on.
There's an overflowing garbage can in the background that you're ignoring.
Right. That's right. I'm nabbing. All the things you would realistically do after the money shot. That's
don't look
the rest
at me.
Of
don't
the pictorial.
Look, don't look at me.
It's David Alan Greer having sex. That's what he does. That's what it's like when David Alan Greer makes love to a woman.
God.
Yeah. Greg Proops here tonight. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ethan is going to be in here from Survivor. And Greg Proops in here tonight. Ethan's one of those names, by the way, from Survivor, where his last name is then confusing. Like if you go, you know, Ethan's on? Yeah. You go, no. Yeah. You know, Ethan. Oh, Ethan.
Ethan from Survivor.
Survivor's coming in.
So, I miss Kelly Wigglesworth. I just miss her name.
Kelly, yeah. Kelly was on this show.
Yeah, I think she was. Yeah.
Her last name's Wigglesworth.
Really?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Mrs. Wigglesworth. Greg,
fantastic syrup
can be found, by the way, at Largo on April 5th doing Greg Proops' chat show. And it's not the Greg Proops' chat show, it's Greg Proops' chat show.
Well, there's so many.
Right. This is the original, though. And Ileana Duncan and who else?
Douglas.
Oh, Douglas. All right. That wasn't that far off.
And Louis Black.
Louis Black. Spoke to him in New York about a week ago. Robert?
Yes.
You're 22. Turn your radio down, please.
Yes, sir.
All right. What's up?
Who is this?
This is the show that you called.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir, Mr. Grohl.
I was talking about this fetish that my girlfriend has with this anal fetish.
Uh-huh.
Well, she wants me to tongue her anus.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
No, you're making this up.
No.
Yes.
And what's the question?
I want to know if it's physically, if it's healthy, unhealthy, like, well, health-wise, for one thing, but also, is it leading to other things in our relationship?
Like what?
You know, where are you going from here, by the way? You're already tonguing your rectum. You can only go over. You cannot go down.
I haven't done it. It's getting to the point where she's really, at first it was just kind of like start off slow. And then she would ask me to do it more and more. Now she's like constantly, every time, you know, I make love to this girl, she's always asking me to do different, you know, go farther and farther. And I'm wondering how far.
Anybody buying this?
This is going to be a mason jar.
No, we don't buy it, Robert.
What do you mean?
Now we really don't buy it. This is bogus. It's bogus. There are women out there who wouldn't mind a little rim action. They don't ask for it.
Well, also, there's no question.
And there's no question.
I'm trying to figure out what the question is.
Is it dirty? Please, you're full of crap.
In fact, I think you'll find that women ask for it by name.
That's right.
Like cats ask for.
That's right.
Friskies or whatever.
He hung up.
Meow mix. That's what they ask for by name.
Did he hang up?
Yeah. I heard it click off.
All right. I understand the meow mix part. I understand the meow asking by name, but the mix.
You'll find that cats don't often get the word mix in.
No.
They don't need to. They know what you mean.
Yeah, that's it. It's inferred.
Yeah.
His thing, obviously, there are potential exposures to oral fecal infectious diseases and things.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to kind of answer the question. It's not something that typically leads to anything because, as Adam says, where are you going from there?
Yeah.
And people don't.
Well, the sink one wishes, yes.
Yeah, get preoccupied with this and ask for repeated visits.
So. And I think I rarely bust out the bottle brush in the bedroom, but this is the time. I mean, you take a nice sitz bath with your old lady before you get down to business in the rim job world. My grandmother, by the way, and I've had
goodness that sentence included both those words.
My grandmother and I've had...
Did she jump right onto the grandmother thing?
Many an uncomfortable conversation.
You'll see why.
Many an uncomfortable conversation in our day. I think my grandmother actually enjoyed...
She had sport with that,
Enjoyed having uncomfortable conversations with me. Once, asked at the dinner table if I knew what a rim job was.
No, she did not.
Yes, she
did. Is this
did
the one who gave you the popcorn container for your high school
graduation?
No, that
was the stepmom. No,
that was,
I'm sorry.
This is at the time 84-year-old grandmother.
That was my aunt. Pat,
where had she
Uncle
read
Pence.
About rim jobs? Had she been to the mall or something? And
there's a Reader's Digest article. Could have been a
my
rim
most
book.
Memorable rim job.
No, it came, up, in a meeting. She used to work at the Veterans Administration and used to counsel a group of veterans. And one of them brought up rim job, and Granny had never heard of it.
Very popular during World War One, by the way.
Yes. The Vietnam vets, I recall.
And probably.
Wake up in a cold sweat.
And she wanted to know, you know, it's like one of those things where everyone had heard of it, but you haven't heard of it, so you then have to ask, have you heard of this, to the rest of the group?
Right.
So she asked me, now, here's an interesting predicament you're in. Normally, when someone says, have you heard of this, X, Y, or Z, and you have, you're very quick to jump on it. My first impulse when she said, has anyone heard of a rim job? I've never heard of one. First impulse was to have the hand come flying up. Second impulse was, wait a minute. Maybe I don't want her to know I know
was
it.
Was this at dinner?
This was at dinner.
With the folks?
There were yes, my mom was there.
Okay.
And the second was, do I really want to engage in a discussion of rim jobs over some brisket with the 84-year-old? So I gave...
I'm glad you guys ate brisket together.
But my ego got the best of me, and I had to say that I did it, but I did it in a very non-committal way. Like, I've not been on the winning or losing, you know, but I must say that I must have heard of it, probably from some troubled kids at school. Yes, one would not run with.
The boys on the corner who pitch pennies.
That's right, who wear those striped turtleneck sweaters with the cabbie hats.
Yeah, they have a toothpick hanging out of their
mouth. Greg had spoke of earlier.
Yeah, right.
That's right, with the blackjacks. All right, let's take a little break.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
They mumble. we'll take a little break. Greg Proops here. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Greg Proops, always a joy.
Thanks, fellas.
Always a pleasure, Greg. You can find Greg April 5th at Club Larga. He's doing a show. Ileana Douglas and Black is going to be there. Lewis Black.
Call him Black sometimes.
By the way, the Kimmel show's on TV. He can't book guests that good.
I was going to say, I actually have better booking than
better booking for there's 98 people out there.
I have a better booking than the show I'm on tomorrow.
I know, it's great. All right.
And well, I'm on that show.
Ethan is coming on tomorrow night from Survivor. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. And,
I had more scooch than you had hot meals, Carolla.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.